fighting for America.
We are on the brink of a first in the fight against Obamacare because Republicans have never attacked the ACA with majorities in the House and the Senate.
Fighting for Idaho.
The way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt. It's unpatriotic.
Fighting for you.
You have the first African-American president. You have an African-American attorney general. And 6 years into their effort, we are in some ways further apart, not close together. That's a tragic failure of leadership at the very top.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning. Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Hope you're having a great morning here. Phone number's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We were talking a little bit about low gas prices and isn't life wonderful. You take a look at the low gas prices and, you know, buck 91, buck here, buck there. And a lot of people are saying, you know, this is great, but, you know, why isn't it like this all the time? And I think, you know, as the new Congress gets sworn in, as we take a look at the new state government getting sworn in, Sherry Ybarra, Governor Otter, sworn in yesterday. I mean, why can't we have these wonderfully low gas prices now? Just a thought. We'll get into that. And you know, the idea of a responsible government. And I really need your help with something here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And as I maybe I'm still trying to shake off the week and a half that I lived like the vagabonds. We live, you know, living like people that are uninformed. Well, maybe they're not uninformed. Maybe that's just too harsh of a word these days. Maybe we should just be more passive, more politically correct when we're talking about society as a whole. Maybe we shouldn't judge people and condemn people and shame people because nobody likes that anymore. One could even say that, heck, look at American Idol. At one time, 13 years ago, it was great to ridicule people. It was great to give them constructive criticism. Now, not so much anymore. It's all about positive reinforcement. So I say that with bated breath as I was listening to our great friend and a gentleman who, when he's not on the Celebrity Apprentice, by the way, thank you, Ray Amaya, for pointing that out to me, that our friend Sean Hannity made a guest appearance on the Celebrity Apprentice the other day when he was giving $10,000 to Geraldo. Now, Geraldo's the biggest lib ever, but whatever. And I'm sitting there watching and listening to Sean Hannity yesterday, and Sean is talking about John Boehner. And the idea that there's going to be a challenge on John Boehner and to call your elected officials to let them know that you want Louis Gohmert, you want Yoo-hoo, and with with respect to the congressman who's running against John Boehner. And you heard at the top of the hour Rachel Sutherland saying that Boehner is expected to be reelected. Has the country gone more moderate, more progressive? And yes, there's still anger. People are still mad. You know, you couldn't not expect the establishment not to fight back after what happened in 2010 when the Tea Party had their moment. And we perhaps see that here in the state of Idaho, where you had people that the planets were aligned against the incumbent, the planets were aligned against the governor, and he won bigger than he's won ever before. So at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, I just wonder, and you have to tell the truth on this one, not what you want to know, not what you need to know, but have we gone progressive? Before we get to that, though, here's some skinny on the new Congress.
Today's the big debut of the largest Republican majority in the House since the Great Depression, and there are still rumblings in the conservative wing of the party about trying to replace John Boehner as Speaker. If more than 29 members of the GOP pick someone else on the first ballot, Boehner's out. So far, though, just 9 have publicly announced that's what they'll do. The new Republican majority in the Senate has made no secret about their plans to pass legislation approving the Keystone XL pipeline. In fact, GOP Senator John Hoeven and Democratic Senator Joe Manchin will file paperwork today to get the ball rolling. And the White House, in their first briefing of 2015, says they're already thinking about a veto of that bill, but they're not sure yet.
Right. There we have it. So whether we're talking about the state, whether we're talking about the country, deep in your hearts, whether you're driving a truck like our friend Gene or going to work like Patriot Ray or Jim from Middleton or others, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, have we become more progressive? And it's funny because I think that is what the side effect of the Obama administration is. People say, well, you don't have to be that extreme. For years, the media has beaten us up for being extremist, for being pro-life, for being extremist, for being pro-gun, for being an extremist for, you know, fighting for traditional American values in this state. Yesterday, we were talking about the Add the Words effort. Do you reward people for breaking the law? That's essentially what's going to happen if there's a hearing. And I'd urge the lawmakers to think about this. Sure, the Cub reporter is on the TV stations. And since the newspapers don't have Dan Popke anymore, they're really not going to get any blowback there. But you'll have the shenanigans and everything else. And it's okay for the left to misbehave. Now, the right, when you have thousands of people show up supporting the Second Amendment, it doesn't get any coverage. That's how the press determines winners and losers. But in this uncensored media that we have here, at 580-KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning, I just wonder, because I'm listening to Sean and I'm going, that's great, Sean. I'm glad you're keeping up the fight. But do you in your heart of hearts believe that John Boehner is not going to be reelected speaker? And one can argue, and rightfully so, that the rank and file is being ignored like they always are. You know, we had our moment where the politicians have to listen to us because they have to be reelected. But after that, you know, it's bye-bye, birdie. We'll see you in 2 years. And we have people, you know, Boehner's this, Boehner's that. Boehner passed Porculus. Boehner, you know, wants to do a deal on immigration. And again, I'm just wondering, based on the media indoctrination, I know this is a little heady for 6:13 in the morning, but I believe sometimes that we have become a little bit more progressive. The country as a whole, the state as a whole. Here we have the big news. We're going to have the state of the state and everything else. You know, only in Obama's America could we have a situation where, and we talked about this a little yesterday with Dave Pezza, where look at the job markets. Unemployment, 5.9%. We're building all these $600,000 homes. Who's gonna live in them? You know, just once, I would love a politician. Maybe that would be you. We thought it was some people. They've always disappointed us. You know, somebody to come out of the wilderness. And let's face it, you're vilified, you're made fun of and everything else. You're put through the ringer. Who wants to do that if you have a life, even if you don't have a life? But that would just kind of reflect the values of their electorate and say, okay, gas prices are incredibly low right now. What can we do to further that? What can we do? Now, they're going to vote on Keystone, and that's great, and that's wonderful. But what can we do here in Idaho? What can we do to make ourselves more accessible? What can we do? You know, there's a huge burden going on right now. If you're 18 to 24, heck, if you're under 35, maybe if you're under 50. And I'm not talking about Social Security. I'm talking about the student loan bomb, where you have kids going to school, and remarkably here in Idaho, we're a lot more affordable than other parts of the country, where you can go get a decent education and, you know, not go broke. But you still have those student loan bombs, 50, 100,000. Dave Ramsey talks about it all the time. Now, the president, tongue-in-cheek, wants to federalize it and forgive student loan debt. I don't know if you can do that. Then, on the other hand, I don't know if you need to charge these exorbitant interest rates that are going to limit what young people can do. I mean, our future, we have the biggest generation ever coming up, the millennials. And gosh knows we know it because they'll tell us just how big and powerful they will be. They're going to get bigger and stronger. But where are the opportunities for them? I just for once would love for politicians to address those issues, to address the millennials. As we have the new legislators coming in, as we have the new Congress coming in, as we have everybody else coming in, when are we going to focus on the real world issues? And let's face it, does getting rid of John Boehner help? Well, then we could do something. We're playing into the hands of the media, of the Democrats. You heard at the top of the hour, well, the president is going to veto anything. Well, the Democrats are going to obstruct. Well, the Republicans have to pass something because the clock's ticking. The clock was ticking on Harry Reid for what, 6, 8 years? 12 years? However long he was there? And there's no accountability. And we see the effects on that. Going back to what I was saying, that the country, whether we like it or not, has become more progressive. So how do we make our moves? Again, it comes back to leadership. And, you know, getting rid of John Boehner, I don't think you start there. I think you start at the local level. And we see that to some degree here in Idaho. But, you know, you go back to Governor Otter. He was reelected. And whether you agree with what happened with the issue with the prisons, the issues with jobs, the issue with health care, when you get your first check of 2015, and Obamacare cuts into it, and all of a sudden you think, where is my money? Perhaps that will start the Great Awakening. Perhaps that will start people saying, we need to do better. And I think arguing over John Boehner is just the sum of the parts, right? When we're taking a look at getting rid of Boehner. And I think that makes great for talk radio. But do you really believe at 580-5436 that getting rid of... Remember when people wanted to get rid of Newt Gingrich and Newt Gingrich became a backbencher? Did Bob Livingston, God bless him, before he got run as well, did Bob Livingston do a better job? No, he was marginalized as well. So I think the Republicans have to figure out how to really be agents of, to quote the president, change and hope, perhaps. Otherwise, we're going to continue to see this slide, in my opinion, where all of a sudden, gosh forbid, the country's going to continue to be more leftist. Now, coming up next, gas prices are low. Is it time to raise gas taxes? Tell you the details next. It is 617. You're listening to Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580KIDO. Don't forget 580KIDO.com. Currently 32 in Star. Let's get you to work.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Six 23, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Could we see an increase in the gas tax? Now, you remember the governor has not alluded to this. It was brought up in the campaign, and I thought that whether you were A.J. Belukoff, John Bujak, Russ Fulcher, Harley Brown, Walt from Emmett, I would have made that a big issue. I would have gotten the no tax pledge promise. But there's a reason why I'm not running for office. But nationally, could we see an increase in the price of gas? Let's take a listen from Chris Wallace and Senator Thune of Fox News Sunday. By the way, Fox News Sunday, you can hear it right here on 580KIDO.
And the Commerce Committee, one of the big items on your agenda is the fact that you have to find a way to finance the transportation bill, which would pay for upkeep of our highways and of the public transit system. With gas prices now under $2.50 a gallon, would you favor increasing the gas tax?
Well, I don't favor increasing any tax, Chris, but I think we have to look at all the options. We obviously have a big delta we have to meet. The highway bill expires at the end of May, and there's about $100 billion shortfall over what it would take to fund the highway trust fund at the current level of operation. So obviously we've got to...
You know, by the way, who runs a business like this? Gene Simmons, the frontman of Kiss, has a new book out called Me Incorporated. And I was watching him yesterday on Meredith Vieira, and he's talking about not taking time off, working very hard. And Gene Simmons, a very great marketer, incredibly successful. And, I it's quite a contrast from people in the private sector. You know, whether you're driving a cab, working at a school, owning your own business, whatever it may be. You know, you talk to an entrepreneur, you talk to a small business person, and they're always working. They're always churning. They're always trying to overcome these hurdles. So, and again, not to get to Alex Jones. By the way, is Alex Jones ever coming back? We always have Paul Joseph or Joseph Paul on for him. I need my Alex Jones every night here at 580 KIDO. So I was sitting here looking at this, you know, not to get too conspiracy, by the way, Infowars.com, but think about this for a minute. The lower gas prices, they get us into a lull of a sense of complacency, people. And then they hit us with a gas tax. Just saying. Not that this is Conspiracy Tuesday or anything, but kind of seems kind of odd that we would float this. Who runs, what is it, $100 billion deficit to fund our roads? By the way, the interstates, I know you're going to say, well, Kevin, they just did that job outside the connector. There hasn't been any major expansion of the federal interstate highway system since Eisenhower put it in. And we've talked about this, you know, a Marshall Plan for America. Joe Scarborough has talked about it. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, has talked about it. Kevin Miller has talked about it. That instead of building roads and bridges in Afghanistan, we should be funneling that money here. On 60 Minutes the other night, and I'm sitting there watching 60 Minutes, you've got Lara Logan, who I think has had a lot of cosmetic surgery. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Talking to the big general there. And they're talking about how there's lights in Kabul. Now, with all due respect, because we live in such a politically correct world today, does anybody in Boise, Meridian, Nampa, Caldwell, Notice, Idaho, care that there are lights on in Kabul when there's bumps in our roads? Just saying. And so here you have Senator Thune. Well, you know, I don't want to raise taxes, but I could raise taxes. It seems kind of odd to me that gas prices have gone down, and God bless Chris Wallace, that's why he's the best, for asking the tough, probing, hard-hitting question.
Have to deal with here, and I think there are a number of ways you could deal with that, and those discussions continue. I think we'll get to a resolution on that, but it is important we fund infrastructure, and our committee deals with that as well as planes, trains, and automobiles.
Well, what have they been doing with the money previous? What has Mr. Wonderful been doing with all the money that we pay in gas taxes and everything else to keep the roads clear? You know, it's a dirty little secret, and I don't know if it happens in Idaho, but in other states, there's so much money being ginned up, being churned by gasoline and diesel and everything else taxes, that it's used to balance budgets in the general fund. And then these politicians come back to us with hat in hand and say to us, well, gee, golly, the roads are falling apart. Well, you're in charge. You know, just once, I would love to see the accountability that you have to make a payroll or to justify your existence to an employer be brought down to those folks in government, right?
Let me just interrupt because we're running out of time here. Now, Senator Corker and others have suggested a 12-cent per gallon increase in the gas tax over the next 2 years. You certainly sound like you're not ruling that out.
Well, 12 cents a gallon increase in the gas tax federally? Are you down for that? Let's talk. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Today's the big debut of the largest Republican majority in the House since the Great Depression.
Guess who just got back today?
My message to Republicans is join us. Get on board.
The administration ought to get their act together.
We need new leadership. We need an opposition party.
The priority is to repeal this health care law. It's bad for patients, bad for the providers, and terrible for taxpayers.
Are your ears burning yet? They should be. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
And good morning, Kevin Miller with you. It is 636 at 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you're just joining in, it looks like the new Congress, the Republicans, are thinking about a 12-cent per gallon gas tax hike over the next couple years. We're getting your thoughts on that at 580-5436. 580-KIDO plus Megyn Kelly versus Bill O'Reilly on the police. But first,
Bob Corker's got a proposal out there. There are others who have suggestions as well, and we appreciate the fact that we've got solutions that are being put forward. I don't think we take anything off the table at this point. I think it's important to recognize that we have a problem, an issue that we need a solution for, and we need to look at all the possible ways out there in which we can address the challenge and address the problem. But that's one proposal that's out there, and Bob Corker's been taking a strong stand on that issue.
One final question,
Chris,
for you.
Chris, if I could, sure. I just want to point out that, yes, we have proposed raising the gasoline tax, so user fee, by 12 cents, but also by offsetting other taxes that Americans would pay. So it's revenue neutral, but at least it would put our infrastructure on strong footing, and that second component seems to get left out of the conversation most of the time. But, yes, I believe that's what we should do.
There we have it. So our friends that are coming in, the Republicans, are taking a look at raising taxes. Now, you remember George Bush, the first one. Read my lips, no new taxes. Now, how many of us, this is where, and I hate to make this like rewinding the Petso segment from the other day, but this is where, Dave Petso and I disagree. He talks about the debt and everything else, and that, he's not worried about it. But shouldn't the government of this country be representing us and our values? And should there not be any special exemptions for government that aren't for businesses? So we have a government that's running a huge, enormous deficit. They're making sure that they're going to go back to the well. And it's kind of like a kid out of college, or some of us who've been out of college for quite some time, that decide, I'm going to live a little, and instead of doing the Dave Ramsey, I'm going to go out and spend money on my credit cards, and I'm going to run up the credit card debt, and I'm going to have a good time on the credit card debt exchange. And then, lo and behold, you either declare bankruptcy or you spend the rest of your life paying off your credit card debt. And because the credit card companies have such big influence, declaring bankruptcy ain't as easy as it was just a few years ago. So the idea that we're going to end the euphoria here in the country with a 12-cent rise in gas taxes? No. How about a 12-cent decrease? How about doing more with less? Gosh, I hate that term. I hate that term when we're talking about businesses doing, you got to do more with less. Okay, buddy, you go do more with less. No, not me, just you. And it's just amazing to me that all of a sudden we're going to take a look at, and I believe that the state is licking its lips, thinking about it twice, and taking a look at raising the state gas tax. Now, remember that was tried a few years ago. It didn't happen. Don't think that the politicians, fresh off the health exchange victory, won't decide to come back and take money out of your pocket. If you're a landscaper, and if you're the sprinkler blowout guy, if you're a salesperson, if you're just somebody who does business in your car, who isn't? You're going to pay. And then my favorite thing with the politicians is the fact that we take a look at, we're taught, just like to quit smoking. You need to quit smoking, but we're going to fund smoking to make sure that we use those things, use that money to ensure that you don't smoke. So when you don't smoke, the revenue goes away. So how do you fund that revenue? It's kind of like people that drive electric cars. That, I have a buddy of mine. He breaks out his 1987 Fiero when that gets rid of the big truck for a while. And he gets great gas mileage. Now those Fieras, boy, they're those Pontiac Fieros, really small cars. But he does that to save money on gas. So if you're one of these folks that gets a gas credit and buys a hybrid, then all of a sudden now the state is looking at you and saying, well, you're not paying your fair share. People that drive incredibly big trucks And look, if you're a man or a woman enough to drive one of these huge monstrosity vehicles, God bless you. You get hit with the gas. You have to constantly fill up. Timmy, the gas station attendant, is your best friend, right? Is your best friend. And it's not too fun when you have to pay all your money to Timmy, the gas station attendant. But that comes with driving the room, room, big trucks, right? So now all of a sudden, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, you have people saying, well, we need to take a look at a usage fee. We need to take a look at, you know, if you drive a big truck, a big vehicle, you're paying more for your fair share of the road than Billy in the hybrid. And you remember, and we'll be sharing this a while, and we're not beating up on the governor. The governor was very honest with his assessment here, and we'll use this to dovetail in a second, but let's hear from the governor.
You know, I drive in from Star every day just like you do, and when I'm sitting there on State Street and Old Highway 55 at the stoplight in my Ford pickup that gets about 15 miles to the gallon, somebody in an electric car pulls right up next to me. I'm paying 25 cents every 14 or 15 miles I drive because they have an electric car, and God bless them for that effort, but they're not paying the same price that I am. And so I think one of the things that we need to do is we really need to make sure that there's equal pay for equal use.
What do you make of that? Equal pay for equal use. How would that be a usage fee? Would all of a sudden when you get your emissions thing in Ada and Canyon County, all of a sudden you have to give them an odometer? Think about that. Equal pay for equal use. Now, if you drive a big truck and you pull into a place, and, you know, I told you one time we were downtown, me and the Mr. G. Mr. G goes, watch me, I'm going to pull in Idaho. And I'm going, what? And Mr. G has a big truck, pulls around in a parking deck and parks that thing, one take Jake, you know, backwards. And you develop a great skill set doing those things, right? Now, and again, if you drive a big truck, and again, I think per capita we have the most people driving big trucks than any state that I know of. I mean, you think of Idaho, you think of churches, you think of guns, and you think of trucks, I think. At 580-5436, 580-KIDO, what would equal pay for equal use mean, number one? And number two, now that gas prices are low, let's raise the gas tax. Not that I'm saying there's a conspiracy, but it sounds kind of convenient, right? Think about that. 6:45 with Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580-KIDO. Big stories going on out of New York where you have these funerals for these fallen officers. Big debate going on. How do we appreciate police? And that's a good point for us here. We've had people that have been very vocal concerning their thoughts about local police and whether or not the police have become too militarized. The Wall Street Journal did a great expose entitled Warrior Cop, where they were taking a look at police officers and saying they've become too militarized. We have MRAPs now in the Treasure Valley, among other places. I think that if you want an MRAP, you want to put it to good use. You put it on the border. You put it in that place in Arizona where, they put up signs because the narco-terrorist will get you, number one. Number two, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, you put it in some of those places, those areas where the Crips, the Bloods, and everybody else have taken over, the gangbangers. Not in Idaho, in California, where it's not safe to go, even if you're a police officer. And when you take a look at these recent attacks on police officers, number one, do you believe, A, that, you know, perhaps we'll see more MRAPs on the streets, and B, and I'm going to give you my own opinion on this. I believe we don't appreciate police officers. I believe, you know, just like that teacher in school that takes care of us with the bullies, that when it comes to local police efforts, and let's face it, is there a better place to live in America? Is there a better place that's safer, that's more family friendly? I mean, the shock here, and I don't have to tell you this, the shock here in the Treasure Valley is that people have to, you know, lock their cars or gee, something happens to your car. Well, I left my keys in it. I left my house unlocked and somebody came in. Well, duh. Try doing that in California or Arizona or Seattle. It just doesn't work out that way. And with these attacks on police officers, now I will confess that if I weren't doing this, I would have liked to have been a police officer. The idea of standing up for what's right. But too often, people vilify the police. And I think that we don't show them enough respect. I'll make my point next. It is 6:47, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safe.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Coming up next hour, our great friend Alex Kincaid will join us. Alex Kincaid, one of the foremost attorneys when it comes to protecting Second Amendment rights here in the state of Idaho. By the way, some very compelling pictures of Ms. Kincaid, Mrs. Kincaid, where she's holding her weapons and firing them. And we've seen her in the rallies with Tony Sinesco. We've seen her with Greg Pruitt. We've had her here on this program many times. We'll talk about the tragic death of the mother near Coeur d'Alene over the holidays, over the Christmas holidays, being shot to death by her two-year-old little kid. By the way, I know a lot of people depend on social media for their news sources, but there's a lot of people on social media that just paint phony news reports, Empire News, Slappy News, some sort of things. And one of the false reports, and somebody alerted me to this the other day, and they said, look, I mean, it's ridiculous, this news story going on that's being perpetrated out of the Facebook. And basically, the game is, and we play it here, you know, you want to help Kevin Miller out, click on my blog. You want to give me a page view, believe it or not, that's the best thing ever. However, that's how we show relevance and value. You have some people that blatantly lie on Facebook, that blatantly go out of their way just to trick you into getting a click. And one of those tricks going up on Facebook right now is a story where you have the two-year-old who is being held in a maximum security prison and that will face the death penalty for shooting their mother. Now, that is not true. And how in the world can we examine the Gem State when we have people that killed Robert Manuel, beat him to death, hid his body, lied to the police, and they didn't get the death penalty, but we're going to automatically put a two-year-old in a maximum security prison and give them the death penalty? It's ridiculous. But you have a lot of predators on the Facebook that are making up these funny stories. And getting back to the issue that we're talking about, which is respecting police. How many of us are polite to officers when all of a sudden we get pulled over? Our friend Terry from State College, Pennsylvania, the police chief in Pittsburgh, my old stomping grounds, is in trouble because he posed with a sign. I resolve to challenge racism at work, hashtag end white silence. Now, maybe that, you know, again, you have people saying, you know, this is bad. I go down to this, and I think to myself, when there's a knock on the door, a bump in the night, who is there? When you have an issue that needs to be mitigated, you know, we tend to look at police officers just as some uniform person, but they have families. They choose to put their lives on the line. And unlike other folks in the public safety department, the police officers are always there, are always working, are always vigilant. You know, there's always a big rivalry, and maybe because, you know, I'm going to show my bias here, the police versus the fire department. Fire department, look, they're going to go into burning buildings. They're going to do a lot of things. But 9 times out of 10, you see the fire department driving the big trucks around, going to the store, burning up gas to make sure they go on a food run. Hey, nothing against the fire department. Those guys work hard in an Eagle. They have great looking calendars. And if you're into men, I suggest buying a calendar because it benefits the burn fund. But police officers, when they're putting themselves on the line, when they're sitting there pulling their guns out, when they're pulling someone over, what would the world be like if we didn't have police? At 580-5436. And, you know, you'd have to go back to, you know, running the roost as you are, as yourself. Yes, you should be armed. Yes, you should take care of yourself. Yes, you should do these things. But on the other hand, I mean, I think we should give credit to these folks. You know, we always have anti-rallies. What about a pro-rally? Wouldn't that be great? By the way, you had two folks that we love to watch, love to disagree with and agree with, going at it concerning how to honor police in Washington, in New York, Megyn Kelly versus Bill O'Reilly.
The judge, Laura Johnson, gave a man who threatened New York City police officers no bail despite a long arrest record. Here to provide perspective, Megyn Kelly, whom you see right after the factor. So what about Judge Johnson?
I don't think she did the right thing, but I think you may be being too hard on her and the mayor by extension. I mean, he's a hot mess for other reasons, which have been well documented. But
a hot mess.
There's been so many problems with this mayor since he's taken office.
I just want everybody to know, I did not call the mayor of New York City a hot mess.
I'm going to say, like,
he did.
You walk around the streets of New York, he has ticked off the left and the right equally.
The DA in Brooklyn, not a conservative man, asked for $250,000 bail. He obviously thinks this guy's dangerous. The guy's got a gun beef. He's got an assault beef.
Right.
He posts a picture, inflammatory, with the guy shooting into a cop.
Right.
And you say she didn't make a mistake.
Well, not as egregious as you could say, because first of all, the guy has two other court dates on January 9th, which is the day he has to return on posting this picture on that charge, the terror.
Right. You sit there and make a terrorist charge against police. You should be put in jail, right? Time for traffic. Kevin Miller. And Kevin Miller, coming up, your thoughts at 580-5436 on supporting the police, number one. Number two, we'll talk to our great friend Alex Kincaid about gun issues in the state of Idaho. Keep it here. Keep informed. 580 KIDO.
KIDO Napa, Idaho.